From John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw that the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told him that he had said these things to her.
Seeing is believing, apparently. We who seem to be so blessed as post-resurrection people, the ones who've read the scriptures, have had the scriptures handed down to us over the generations. Let's face it, we know the story. We know the Easter story. We can sit here in Good Friday services and gently produce a little chuckle, a little smile, because we know the story. We can gather here on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, with a bit of a grin, because we know the events of this day. We've read the book. We've seen the movie. We've downloaded the YouTube clips. We know what took place on Easter Sunday. But Mary didn't. She had no idea. John and Peter didn't. The other disciples and the followers of Jesus, they didn't. They didn't know what was going on. Mary is the key figure of the resurrection story. Along with two disciples of Jesus, Mary ventures to the tomb expecting to find a body, and the disciples reach that tomb and they react to Mary's understanding that the body has been stolen. Supposedly, the theft of Jesus, their mate, is gone. Each of these people saw something differently, and they were not prepared for it. whilst there is strong emphasis on seeing and believing in the Easter Sunday drama, I invite us to keep in mind something else as well. I invite us to think that it's not so much what we bring to the tomb, but how we leave the tomb that matters. Or put it in a different way. It matters not how we come to Easter Sunday morning, but rather how we leave from today. How does the story of the resurrection change us? Are we different because of today? Yeah, our song's a little bit more up. We've got a bit of a step in our walk. If we look at both Mary and the disciples and ask, why did they come to the tomb? And then we ask, well, how did they leave? We may begin to see the Easter message less as a historical event and more a faith statement, a proclamation, the story of happy beginnings. John's gospel carefully develops the resurrection story. First, Mary comes to the tomb and sees that the stone is gone, but she doesn't go into the tomb. She stands there. There's no faith encounter here. There's no resurrection experience for Mary. Well, the stone was simply rolled away or removed. Mary saw what she expected. She didn't report that Jesus has risen, but rather in her mind that the body was supposedly stolen or taken. The disciples, they run to the tomb, and one, we know, outruns the other, but doesn't go in, but sees the folded grave clothes. And we read that he saw and believed. It's as if the light of dawn was beginning to shine, gradually revealing the mystery of this Jesus event. The disciples, well, they felt something. They knew what they'd seen. They knew it to be real, but their minds couldn't grasp the reality of it. It was too much, too soon. What would that be like? I think it'd be trying to understand or describe love. We can believe in love. We can feel it. We can give it. We can take it. But do we fully understand love? Take God, for example. Do we understand the mysteries of the divine? What about the resurrection? Does it make sense? Do we sit here year after year hoping that one day we will fully understand what Easter means? But we're not called to understand, but rather to have faith. Because believing without proof or understanding is indeed faith, and it is indeed trust. You can't work it out. We can't approach it with the same method as we would with a maths problem. We need to react to this with faith. So we're left with an empty tomb and folded grave clothes on this Easter Sunday morning. Seeing is one thing, but believing is another. How many times have we seen something and kept it to ourselves and thought that people would think us mad or a bit silly? Maybe we're telling a bit of a whopper. Mary sees the empty tomb and she thinks on the human level. The body is gone, therefore it must be stolen. Mary runs to tell the story, not in excitement or joy, but out of fear and concern. The two disciples run to the tomb and they believe because they saw folded grave clothes. They didn't see Jesus. They left, and we are told, not saying a word, and they ran home. You see, they came hoping to solve a mystery, a supposed theft of a body. they thought on the rational human level. Yet something in their experience then caused them to become believers. Sometimes we've had a spiritual experience and we're left with, I don't know, more questions. Time to process it. Time to take hold, or maybe we just need to step back a bit and process this and go, what's going on? We know it to be real, and others might not believe us, but something has stirred in us and caused the light to come on. Is that what we know of the Easter Sunday story? The light is on in the head and in our hearts. Are we ready to share our Easter faith, the Easter story? Well, Mary was left behind. Whether it was emotion or duty or fear, she still operated on that human level, or that physical, as she came to the tomb to anoint a body. She came to anoint a body, but there was no body. There was no body. And nobody. She did, however, to see two angels. Freaky experience at that. Speaking with Mary, and she asked, well, where is he? And it was then that she turns and she sees Jesus. You see, Mary saw the stone that was rolled away. She saw the clothes that were laid in the tomb. And now she sees Jesus. But she still did not recognize him. Mary was still in her role, task-orientated role. Where's the body? She said to Jesus. Where's the body? Tell me, I need to know. I need to do the right thing. I need to process this. I need to anoint the body. I came here to anoint the body. Where's the body? Her expectations were still at the forefront of her mind. And it's a big call, I think, Mary represents for us who are ones who seem to want to do the right thing, the expected thing, where we are too focused on the rational that we miss perhaps the surprise of God. It's like when you're driving on holidays. You might be driving to Melbourne or Alice Springs or wherever it is, Victor Harbour. You're focusing on the road. And you never actually see what's going on beside the road. You're thinking about the beach or the destination or the fishing, the big catch of fish. I'm always fascinated when I'm the passenger and we've driven that same road so many times, you see new things. Mary. Mary, says Jesus. And she turns and she believes. She turned and she saw and she knew and she believed. And Jesus' words were her to go and tell. To go and proclaim. Don't be silent. Go from here and tell your friends of your Sunday experience. And she departs exclaiming, I have seen the Lord. Here we are, yet again on Easter Sunday morning, the day of resurrection. How will you leave the tomb this morning? What are the stones that block your joyous proclamation? Perhaps our biggest block is our expectation in the way that we come to Easter Sunday morning, that we're not expected to go away shouting from here this morning. Do we come to solve a mystery, or do we come just to eat hot cross buns? Both. Do we come as one last-ditch effort for the preacher to convince you of your faith, to convince you that it's true? Do we come because it's the right thing, because we've been brought since we were a child to Easter services, to follow others? Or do we come believing and therefore leaving proclaiming? Whatever motivation, whatever our understanding, whatever degree of faith or doubt, the good news is that it doesn't matter how we come, but how we leave. What matters is how we leave. Where have you seen the risen Jesus this morning? Where has Jesus been in your life today and previously? Where has Jesus spoken your name? Or will we leave the service this morning and not say a word? Keep it to ourselves. And, you know, on Tuesday morning when we go back to work or the office or to the shops and someone says, "How's your weekend?" "Oh, great. Yeah, the footy was good. Went camping. Did a bit of shopping. Did the odd jobs around the house. Painted the deck. Slept in." Or will you say, "I went to church and I left that church excited and happy, and maybe you should come next week"? After all, Easter is the biggest single event in all of history. It's bigger than September 11. It's bigger than both world wars. It's bigger than putting a man on the moon. It's bigger news than Notre Dame burning down. You know, we don't worship a dead man. We worship one who lives. The New Testament tells us that Jesus appeared to many people after the Resurrection Sunday, and many believed. Yet our experience, like Thomas, is one that says, "But show me the truth," or "What do I find?" Or we are not privileged to be present at that first century Easter Sunday. Number one, we can, however, approach it with faith, with eyewitness accounts, the written word, the faith of communities through the centuries. To believe without seeing is indeed faith. Jesus once asked Mary a very personal question. Remember in the home of Lazarus, where Jesus was anointed by tears and perfume and long hair, and Mary and Martha, they have the argument about who's serving and who's not. And Jesus says to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." Mary, do you believe this? And Mary said in a roundabout sort of way, with pre-Easter thinking, before this weekend, "Yeah, I sort of do. I sort of believe. I want to believe." But that Easter morning, a week or two or three or four or whatever it was between that house visit and this Sunday, Mary turns and sees and believes. And the message to Mary was to go. Go. Tell. And thankfully she did. Because we probably wouldn't be here if she didn't. So the resurrection of Jesus is, among many things, a proclamation. It is good news to tell. Good news. The proclamation to the world that death and violence and injustice and racism and sexism, domestic violence, all of those things, hatred, are no longer powers to rule. They do not bind us any longer. The Easter proclamation is that Jesus is risen, and he's risen indeed. Life lives on. So it's not so important how or why we come to church today, but it's a matter of how we leave and what we say. So may I hear, Christ is risen. Amen.